sings my soul. All right, everybody, come on in, have a seat. Good morning. My name is Mike Souder, and I just want to say I think you're pretty awesome for being here on Independence Day Eve to be here together. God bless you. For the past few Sundays, we've been reviewing the life, the story of the biblical character Joshua. And that was the plan for today. But with the overturning of Roe v. Wade last week, we need to spend a little time talking and praying about that. So I want to ask for your patience, some grace. Can I have some breathing room here this morning? Please. I'm not an expert on this issue. I probably have more questions than answers, but I do care deeply about you people. And I feel like it's part of my responsibility to help guide us through this thing. Not just this morning, but for years to come. I remember where I was standing that Friday when I heard the news, and in the span of about 10 seconds, I experienced every emotion a guy can probably have. I mean, 1 second, I was like, I was almost choked, and then I started crying, and then I was about to start shouting and whistling, and then because of the people I was around, I just kind of froze. I think I was in shock. But every day since, it's hit me more and more that this federal law protecting abortion for almost 50 years, the law that has supported human choice above human life, has been overturned. What a breakthrough. I mean, how many millions of hours have people prayed for this? At Grace, we've been asking for this ever since we were born as a church. And when our prayers are answered, we have got to thank God. So can we pray? Will you pray with me? God, thank you. Thank you for this answer to decades of years of prayer. We know this is a work of you. This is your will. This is something no politician, no judge, no one could ever do without your help. On behalf of babies in mothers' wombs right now, thank you. On behalf of the future people this will bring into this world that otherwise wouldn't have been here, thank you. On behalf of all of us getting to experience this in our lifetime, God, thank you. God, we ask that you would forgive our country for our many sins, and you would forgive each of us for our own unique sins in all this. God, would you speak to us this morning? Would you help us? Would you show us your way? Help us get on your page. Would you help us rise, God, above confusion, above offense, above rhetoric, above politics? Would you help us to hear from you and have the courage to obey you in everything? In Jesus' name, amen. I wish God would let me sleep better on the nights before I preach. Early this morning, I woke up and I couldn't sleep, and I was just laying there, and I found myself thinking about Jesus, thinking, how would Jesus respond to a woman on her way to have an abortion? You know, it's the kind of story that's in the Gospels. For sure, he would have walked with her and listened to her. He might have cried as she told him the trauma and all the things that led up to that moment. For sure, he would have told her who she really was and who she could be in the future. He would have served her, probably doing some kind of miracle to keep her from ever even wanting to have an abortion. And he would invite her into his community so she was no longer alone. But if she went ahead and did it, even though it was the last thing he would have wanted, he would forgive her fully if she would walk back to him And he would heal her from the trauma of it in a way only he can do, body, soul, and spirit. He'd heal her. And then he would do what he did with everyone else, and he would invite her to come along and walk with him. So Jesus is our example. We're going to do a few things this morning to help us follow the example of Christ. First of all, we're going to review our theology, our understanding of the sanctity of life. Second, we're going to consider a few ways we can engage with others, especially people who don't necessarily agree with our theology. And third, we're going to receive communion and pray together for the healing we all need. First, let's talk about our theology, our understanding of the sacred nature, the holy nature of life. Let's look at the creation account. Back in the very beginning, creation, day six, the last project at the end of the whole creation project. Then God created humankind in his own image. In the image of God, in God likeness, he created them, male and female. All humans are created in the image of God. The ones you like and the ones you don't. They're all created with this likeness of God since they're created in God's image. Elvis, Hitler, Biden, Trump, Hillary Clinton, Kim Kardashian, fill in the blank. They were all created in God's image. They were all created to carry and reflect the goodness of God, created to give the world yet another expression of the beautiful dimension of who God is. Now, those people don't always live like God intended. But it doesn't change the fact that humanity is the crown of God's creation. No other thing is created in God-likeness. That God-likeness DNA is what gives human life value and gives humans a reason to be born regardless of the circumstances of their conception, regardless of the health or lack of health of that preborn child or whatever. We are pro-life in that we want to protect life at every stage from conception on because it is the most sacred, the most holy thing on earth. We are holistically pro-life. This is what made us take COVID seriously, doing whatever we could to try to protect those who are more vulnerable than ourselves. This is what motivates us to work for racial equality since we are all equally created. This is what makes us have healing nights and pray for and pursue healing for people in our own community and throughout the world, wherever we go, so that we could see the world have an ever-increasing sense of human flourishing. That God-likeness is what gives a person value long before the 24-week mark when he or she reaches fetal viability. For you created my inmost being, King David wrote. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body, and all the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. All the days ordained for me. Think about that for a minute. All the days. In the same way, every molecule of your DNA was written out long before you were born. Every day of your life was written out. Every moment known by God before your first day. God told the prophet Jeremiah, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you, I chose you, Jeremiah. Take this a step farther. This blew my mind as I was thinking about this. The apostle Paul said to the people of Ephesus in his introduction, God chose us to be in him before the creation of the world. So what does that mean? Well, that means that every human life was ordained, planned, wanted wanted to be with God not only before they were born, but before the world was created. Before dirt, which I guess makes us older than dirt. I mean, you've heard that statement before. It's actually true. So those are a few of the verses from the beginning to end from in the scripture, but the whole Christian narrative, the whole biblical narrative from beginning to end places this incredibly high value on human life, celebrating life, protecting life, seeking to expand and add life, even to resurrect life. And that informs our every decision, especially our thinking about the protection for the unborn. Okay, so where do we go from here? That's great. It's a Christian theology. So where do we go from here? Everybody's posting like mad online. And every day, we're offered the choice to fight or to flee from the conversation. It's easy to feel trapped. You can't say anything. You say anything, you're going to upset people. But God has this way of turning traps into doors, just like he did for the woman trapped in the act of adultery and giving her a brand new life. So what are those doors and what can we do specifically? Well, for starters, we have to enter into the pain of it all. Before we get into action, we have to sit with others in their pain and we have to listen to them. This is one of the most powerful things that the staff of Ava Care and Comfort Care in Stanton, our local pregnancy centers, do. They sit with people and they listen. They listen to their stories for hours. You don't have to be in a pregnancy center, however, to listen to someone suffering from some kind of sexual brokenness or some kind of trauma. Listening is this rare, beautiful thing. It's like the new cup of water we can give someone. Deep listening to people affected by trauma of all types is difficult. We don't want to do it. Their stories are painful and complicated. I saw on the news this morning a 10-year-old girl's pregnant. What's she going to do? The world is not as it should be, and women are not always pregnant by their own choice. But only by entering the world of suffering people can we gain compassion. And compassion is this God-sized key we need for this massive problem. Compassion is what made Jesus so effective. The word compassion means with suffering. Jesus was with people suffering. He entered their world and he spent so much time with people in their pain. He was so close to their real needs. The power of God was just like sucked out of him. Over and over in the Gospels, we see Jesus performing miracles. The biggest ones, resurrecting the dead, feeding thousands of people, healing the blind, consistently come what? Immediately after, his heart was filled with compassion and his eyes were filled with tears. The prophet Isaiah said of Jesus, "Surely they are my people." So he became their savior. In all their suffering, he also suffered. That's what it meant for Jesus to be God incarnate, God with us. And that's the example we need to follow. We don't like to be in pain. Most of the idols we have are meant to keep pain down, keep pain away. But we're not going to be effective. We're only going to be harsh and judgmental if our hearts are not broken to a certain degree by the pain that others are experiencing. Secondly, one of the most practical ways to protect the unborn is to honor and support women, all women, but particularly vulnerable and marginalized women. For thousands of years, women have had to carry the primary responsibility for this thing. And it's not right. This isn't just a woman's issue. We all have a responsibility in this. And I could say a lot more about this. But again, let's consider the example of Jesus, who at every turn, in every situation, honored women to the point that he was misunderstood and mistreated by people for doing that. He protected women. He raised the bar of opportunity, inclusion, and authority for women, didn't he? That's a key. So we sit with pain that others experience, we honor women, and more than ever, we do something. We do what we can. That compassion motivates us to action. There are these huge implications to the overturning of Roe v. Wade, as Pastor Catherine shared so well last week. There's this added responsibility that's put on all of us. I think of it like the night our first child was born. The first night our first child was born. We're celebrating. We're taking all kinds of pictures. We would have FaceTimed, but I don't think we had FaceTime back then. He's 18 now. And then it's 4 a.m. We're exhausted. We're ready to sleep. But he's not ready to sleep. He's hungry. And he's a little uncomfortable. And he's upset. We are filled with the best thing that could ever happen. And our responsibility level just went to a whole nother planet in terms of responsibility. We have a new job on our hands. This is the privilege, though, of working with God, caring for people made in God's image, treating them with dignity, respect, and value. This is an invitation from God to help bring his fullness of life to the world. And we can't put God-sized expectations on people without helping them with whatever God has given us. Jesus once corrected the Pharisees. He said, "You put massive responsibility on others without being willing to lift a finger to help them." This is why Dick and Becky Blackwell, the founding pastors of this church, helped launch AvaCare in the 80s. And that's why we've been supporting it ever since. But there are thousands of ways to serve in this movement. Some of them might seem less direct, but they're all equally important. From the time our kids can talk, we need to be talking with them about sex, how to treat themselves and how to treat other people. At every age, please let us have a zero tolerance policy for any type of pornography. It might seem harmless, but it's like one step removed from sex trafficking and abortion. For those of us who are married, let's take responsibility for growing and healing our marriage so we have the strength to help others. Teens need actively engaged teachers and coaches and bosses, mentors. Teens need spiritual fathers and mothers who can offer guidance and protection and safety nets. Vulnerable, marginalized men and women need second and third and 23rd chances at jobs. I know people who volunteer as nurses and counselors at pregnancy centers. Couples in this church who are opening their hearts and their homes to foster care and adoption. One friend of mine serves as a full-time, unpaid volunteer at a children's center in China, and her sister works with special needs kids with Young Life. Again, it's all pro-life because it supports the overall life system. Another guy I know is a baseball coach for at-risk kids in Roanoke. Again, that's a part of this overall pro-life system we're going for. So these are just a few examples of what it means to be holistically pro-life. We're going to take communion, but I want to tell one more story before we take communion. Pepe, pastoring our Spanish group. His mother had an abortion before him. What would have been a brother, I think. After Pepe was born, his mother tried to have more children and couldn't have any children. So he's the only child, except for the fact he became a Christian. He joined this massive, global, eternal family of God, and he's got friends, more friends throughout the world than anybody I know. I just met one of them 2 weeks ago. Pepe's been friends with him for like 50 years. That's part of why we are a family. So we can provide something that our maybe families of origin couldn't provide, or that the trauma of life can't be fixed without us together. So we're going to receive communion together. This is something we do to remember how desperately we need God's grace and God's power to live this stuff out. At Grace, we take communion monthly, following Jesus' instructions to eat and drink bread and juice together to remember him and all he did to forgive us and to give us the way of life. So instead of doing this earlier in the service, we've reserved it for now, so we all might have a chance to reflect a little bit and respond to what we've been talking about. I'm reading out of 1 Corinthians. Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And in the same way, after dinner, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." Again, it's that remembrance of him where something happens. Something mysterious, but something very real happens when we remember him. "Whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. The Lord's death, which he traded for your life." We need this reminder, and we need this proclamation, not only for our healing, but for the healing of others and for the healing of the destructive tension that would pull us all apart. You know, we're not the first people to struggle with figuring out how to follow God and how to do that with a group of people. Right after Jesus said these words, the disciples got into a fight over who had the best position on something. We're just like them. That's why he created this meal. A meal, a single table. It's not drone delivery service of communion to wherever you are. You got to come to the table. You got to rub shoulders with people you otherwise don't necessarily agree with. A common table, a common practice where we remember Jesus, his way, his life, his death, his resurrection. It's a time to reflect on our own sin, our own brokenness, admit it and confess it so we can go free. The Apostle Paul told the Corinthians to examine themselves before eating the meal so they wouldn't dishonor the sacrifice of Jesus. Think about what you're about to do. Being honest with ourselves, being honest with God, leads to repentance. Admit any area where you've been wrong. Because repentance leads to forgiveness. And forgiveness leads to freedom, and freedom leads to everything you could ever want. Joy and peace with yourself and with God and with everybody around you. This is why we're a community. We help each other. So here's what we're going to do. Take a few minutes and do what the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian people. prepare for this meal. You know, before you eat dinner, hopefully you wash your hands, right? Well, before you do this, think a little bit about any area in your life that's not clean. Prepare for this meal, very tiny though it might be. Examine yourself, inspect your heart, be honest. Where have you sinned with this whole issue? Some of you have had abortions, maybe several. There is complete 100% forgiveness. Some of you have caused unintended pregnancies that have ended in abortion. Others of you, probably all of us, have hurt people with how we've responded to this thing. And in doing so, we have dishonored God and further pushed people away from the kingdom. We have to tell God these things so we can be free from them. And the reward will be the same for all of us, complete freedom. Psalm 103, the Lord. This is God's definition of himself. He initially gave to Moses. The Lord is compassionate and gracious. He's slow to anger. He's abounding in love. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. But as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. The beautiful forgetfulness of God. So just rest for a minute. We've got time. And when you're ready, come forward, take a piece of bread, dip it in the juice. You can eat it there, you can take it back to your seat. And then I'll close us. This one is gluten-free, by the way. Take your time. And then we'll close with a song. That's one of those songs. There's just no like end to it. You could just keep singing it, but we will in heaven. Listen, this it came to me as we were worshiping there that we tend to think like about challenges potentially being fixed by what we have the capacity to fix and by what the people around us have the capacity to make right. But God is the God of the impossible. He says that. He says that. With God, all things are possible. And that's true on a macro scale for the world and for the United States, and it's also true for whatever specific situation you're in. So we're going to close with prayer. Can we have ministry team people come forward? And we're going to pray for you for any reason at all. We would love to pray with you this morning. If this is the first time you're even hearing some message about forgiveness, come forward and let us pray for you to be forgiven, to start over, to live without a stitch of regret, which is a beautiful and very possible thing. I know it from my own experience. I'm going to close just reading a few of the words of this, and then you will be dismissed to come forward for prayer or to go out. Father, you are the one who gives life. And so I pray, God, that you would bless every person here today, every person who watches online. I bless you with new life. I bless you with the light of God in whatever area in your life is dark. I bless you with hope where you've given up. I bless you to be restored wherever you've been broken, so that you would be one who screams out praise to God for what only he can do. Bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a great day. Love you all. Be careful tomorrow, whatever y'all doing.